cord, so stop all your racistness.
Well, I'm just saying I appreciate how diverse it is. That's all.
Yeah, but okay, now that we're recording, though, you're not allowed to talk about where you work.
That's okay? Very true.
And, all right.
And, you know, it's a dream, and I can't tell you why.
Yeah, all right.
Nonsense.
All right. Hey, listen, nonsense? You got to respect Philly Pong Pong.
Look, if it allows me to feed my wife, and that's what matters.
No, sure. How would you feed her? TV boy Billy B is back. All right, sharing your timeline. Yes, share your page.
Record. It's fine. All right, we're all good. Ready to go.
Why did you have another? Did you have an off-air question?
Nah, it can wait. Yes.
Why don't you message me?
No, it's fine.
Well, now you won't remember.
Not that big a deal. It was childish and ignorant.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you can tell me now that we're recording?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's doesn't happen very often. Okay, well, we've got a show. We'll get started here in a second. As soon as we... okay, looks like everything is recording. And looks like all the engines are firing, Phil. And
just make sure you don't drag your knuckle on that trackpad so the window moves.
Drag your knuckle. All right. Here we go.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and a newest sponsor, Doer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Facebook account is Humble and Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Do you want to say it? Because it's your thing, you know? You're the man. I needed love. You know?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Talking to you, man.
And what do you want me to do at this point?
Well, you know, there's been a few false starts, but now is the time. Now that Labor Day weekend is done.
Howie. How can I not keep up? Yes, it's time to get serious.
Yeah, man.
It's the day after Labor Day, the Tuesday. The kids are back to school, and everybody is in that frame of mind now. Fun is over. Time to get serious. Mm-hmm. You're so right. And I don't know. I don't feel that way so much anymore. You know, at my age. But watching all the people scurry around me yesterday. My daughter talking about how nervous she's been over the past week because her kids are going back to school. And up here at the Tin Palace, there's tons of teachers. They've been gone for several days getting their classrooms ready and the such, you know. So it's all there.
Well, I dig all that. Whatever it is you just said, I like it. I was going to ask you later in the program about Melanie and her prep for the babies to go back to school for the first time, I guess, since March of 2021. I was hoping we could delay the anti-vax hatred for a bit, because I do have several things I've been compiling over the 3 or 4 days since last we met.
Really? What more can be said?
Lots really. More. Okay. But not now. I did want to say to this, to you guys, to this gathering, I wanted to say hi to Phil on his secret job. Hopefully that's going well. We all love Phil.
Oh, yes, because of York Region's bylaw that allows people to work on stat holidays, I had to work yesterday.
Do you get time and a half, triple overtime? What do you
people? Oh, yeah, I get time and a half 2 days rather than one.
Oh, isn't you?
But, you know, because of the hours I work, though, it's like every morning, no matter if it's a holiday or not, it just feels the same, which is fine.
That's great. Well, I was going to say to you, too, first of all, welcome back, everybody. This is a show, big show. I want to mention at some point that we've made some decisions about our 10th anniversary. I have to write down. And we've got some special guests lined up that we know about and some special guests lined up that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. So exciting.
One of the guests, pardon me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the guests is what?
No, you finish.
No, I said it's so exciting, you know, and it's coming fast. October will be here before we know it. and we can ring that 10-year bell. It's fantastic.
It is very fantastic. Exciting.
I mean, this the pandemic has obviously thrown a wrench into it, because it would be a, you know, it would be a, it, we would call it a spectacular if there was no pandemic.
Would we?
Have to rent a ballroom. Yes.
We would. It would be, you know, we'd be filled to capacity.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in a second. I did want to say, though, that I was sort of ruminating this morning and over the past few days as to what would we have been doing, you and I, and this was pre-Phil. Like, we were only weeks away at this point 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time in the summer, you and I, it was mostly just you and I. We did have some help. We had a little help from my friend Jeff Lumby in terms of making these. We made our own soundproof pads, I guess they're called. But what were we doing, I guess, is my question to you. Would at Labor Day 2011, Phil, you were obviously still in school or going back to school. And Freddie and I were like 5 weeks away from launching this thing.
You were setting up the table, right? The dining room table.
Mm-hmm. I remember doing a lot of painting too, mm-hmm. and high painting. Remember that? Those walls went on forever.
And I remember you and I hanging. Did we not hang those things? The soundproof barriers. You and I were hanging them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Technically, we had some help. I don't know when Boone came on, but somebody else was helping us technically. Was it Pete or was it Dan?
I think Pete Cuno was in there, yeah. Oh, it's 10 years ago, man.
No, I know.
A lot of fun. You know, as it turns out, and we've learned over the last little while, some of that soundproofing was overkill.
But no, I know. Well, we were naive.
No, we were old radio guys, and you just thought you needed all that stuff.
I know.
When in reality, it really didn't make that much of a difference, but that's fine.
Well, it's funny you say that. Is it funny? Is it interesting? Because the sound you get, and Dan especially, but the sound that you get and some of the other people we talk to, you know, I'm in a studio, but you sound like you have studio quality.
Yeah. And the thing is, this microphone that I'm talking into, I bought this when I was doing my blog back probably 2006. That's how old this microphone is. So I can't sit here and say it was designed for today's podcast, you know, needs or requirements. It wasn't. I don't even know what it was built for.
It was probably built
like $100. It's worth $100.
It was probably built to talk into, would be my guess.
I guess, yes.
you don't know what it was built for. Well, it's not a blender. But no, I get your point. Phil's speaking into, I don't even know, like a cigarette case. What are you speaking into?
Well, this machine, if you guys were at the edge back in the 90s, this machine would have been like 30 kilograms. It'd be part of one of your server racks. Like, this is a Tascam. Yeah. So even the professional companies are getting into this podcasting thing.
Yeah, it seems to be gaining some steam, I'd say.
Well, anyhow, I was just thinking about that. There was a couple of pictures I saw. I don't really go to the Facebook too much anymore, but I saw either on my memories or somebody had posted, it was a picture of you and I in the original Humble and Fred studio/office. And we were I was laying on the table when doing some kind of cheesy picture thing. And that was just a couple months before we started. And it looked like you and I were in the studio by ourselves, you know, fussing over some equipment. But
I just remember ruining a pair of Crocs because, that's one of my big memories.
Oh, is it?
I remember painting.
Jesus.
And going, getting on all the stuff, and I thought, oh, I'll just wear these Crocs, which I liked because they were very handy. You know, you leave them at the front door when you got to pop out quick, you know, back and forth, or slide into it.
Sure.
And I got paint all over them, and I thought, oh, that'll just wipe off, and it wouldn't. It got into the rubber of the Crocs, and I ruined them. That's one of my memories. But don't worry, I charged them back to the company.
I was going to say. And did we pay for that mistake? We had a conversation that you can hear. I'm not sure which time or what time this podcast is released today, but Tony Clement, a former assistant prime minister, has a podcast, and Fred and I were on it. We recorded on Friday. It'll be released at some point today. It's called And Another Thing Podcast. And Tony talks to us about some of the origin story of the Humble and Fred Show, and we comment on 10 years of doing this thing.
I really thought that podcast was going to be the Humble and Fred spin on current politics and the election. I really did. I thought that was the subject matter. So I was, and you're going to laugh at me now when I say this, I was prepared for that.
Don't worry.
Yes. I thought, all the, you know, throughout the day I'm running, or a couple of days leading up to it, I'm running through things through my mind that I thought, being a conservative, that Tony might ask us. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll put it this way, I'll put it that way. And I was dead wrong.
Yeah.
I was dead late, and yeah. I was dead wrong.
Well, let's talk about that if we can, because you were so prepared for the podcast. 7 o'clock Friday evening, which is an odd time to record, but you know what? He's our friend, and he's been good to us, so I'm like, I can make that happen. 7 o'clock or 5 to 7, I sign on to this system, Phil. It wasn't Zoom, and it wasn't video. It was like an audio-only kind of sharing thing.
Was it Microsoft Teams or WebEx?
No, nah, something like that. It wasn't, but it was something like that. And signed on, and, you know, Tony, I'm talking to Tony, and I'm talking to his guy, Jody. Great time. And 5 after 7 comes, and I'm like, I don't hear any, no Fred. So I'm texting Fred, nothing. And then I call Fred, and Fred, you can take it from there.
Sure. Do you get great pleasure out of this? Are you getting?
I derive no pleasure out of this story
because it seems rather insignificant to me. But I will.
Well, I mean, except it's only significant in that you were prepared for 2 days, according to you. But you were prepared, but you'd forgotten that you were going to be doing it at 7 o'clock on Friday night.
You know, it's funny because I was going to set an alarm on my phone to remind me about 6:30, you know, to get everything set up and ready to go. And I never got around to that. And then, I don't know, about 6:15, this became, here at the Tin Palace, it was just the grandkids were here, my son and daughter were here. I was awaiting the arrival of my wife and my son-in-law, and some friends were up on the deck, and there was dogs running around. And 7 o'clock came, and I completely forgot about my commitment to Tony Clement. So I was lucky, actually, because I had hooked up my health gauge to my phone. So my phone was way in another room. And then all of a sudden, I see this thing on my watch, and it said, Humble Howard, me and Tony are waiting. And I'm just, you know, what?
Oh, you have
me
your,
and Tony are waiting.
You have your your text hooked up to your health gauge. I told you, that's cool, man. You got to show me how to do that.
It says, me and Tony are waiting. And at first, I'm thinking, what's that all about? Oh, and then I jumped up and I ran into the room where the equipment was, and I phoned you and I said, give me a few minutes. And yeah, so I mean, 7 or 8 minutes late. Yeah, it was embarrassing. I don't like to do that.
Well, it wasn't, and like you. And that's what I said to Tony and Jody. I said something must be wrong. This was where, this is, you should understand, you shouldn't understand, you should know, I should say, that I was for the minutes waiting for you, starting to get a little bit concerned. Because it's not like you. It's not like us to miss our commitments.
Concerned like, well, I was like, I was dead on the toilet or something.
Well, for sure, at least. Or you were, you had a stroke, your half of your face was like droopy. You had the droopy stroke face. That should be that should be one of the in that commercial. That's what they should say. Look for the signs. Droopy stroke face.
Hot cob.
Well, you know, it was a horrible feeling. Those few minutes. You know, those few minutes seem like an eternity. No, I'm scrambling. I'm getting the, you know, my computer open here, and I'm plugging in my Focusrite, and my son's going, "Hey, Dad, is there anything I can do to help you?" And I said, "Not really, Dan, because, you know, it's just this. I got to just log on," and then I'm looking for the address. I thought it was something different, and then it was brought to my attention. It was something I had never used before, so that became a, you know, a tiny issue.
Huge
as
issue.
As I searched to click on. But Tony and Jody, they didn't mind. And then I'm thinking, boy, is Tony's show live on some level? Have I screwed up the live portion of his show? On and on.
Oh, no, it was terrible. But you know what? It all worked out.
Yes, it did.
And if you want to hear a little bit, so wasn't a, I also thought, you know, am I going to be lost in this discussion of politics? What if I don't know the name of the person in my riding who's running? Nor do I care. But it just turned out Tony and Jody, very nice people, just wanted to kind of talk about what was going on as we had come to our 10th anniversary. And in a second or two, we'll give you, you know, a couple of little teasers. In the meantime, guys, I got to get you these pants. I'm wearing the Doers. They have the world's most comfortable pants for men and women. But it doesn't, I can't do it justice. I got this galactic t-shirt, and I've got these, to call them denim, it's like you're wearing, I don't know, soft gloves that look like jeans. Natural materials in combination with technical achieves breathability, comfort, and strength for everyday wear. It really is something. You got to check them out. No longer do you have to sacrifice performance when you want to dress up or style when you're on the move. Doer is proudly Canadian and prides itself on having a collection of natural, fiber-rich fabrics, meaning the majority of fibers originate from plants, eucalyptus trees, wood chips, and recycled alternatives to oil. But none of that does it justice. I'm going to tell you, justice. These are so comfortable. Use the code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off your next order. HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off at Doer, DUERC.ca. DUER.ca. Friedrich?
Well, I'm sure Tim Niblett would look good in a pair of those trousers. No doubt. No doubt, because Tim Niblett, he looks good from all angles. And Tim Niblett, he's the guy you want to talk to if you're getting ready to invest, you want to build a portfolio, or you have one and you want someone to have a second look at it. Hey, Tim's been in this for a long time, and he knows what he's doing, and he's helped a lot of Humble and Fred listeners so far. The list is really impressive. The people that have come over to the Sherpa side, so to speak. Tim is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. You hear him on the show every week. Again, he knows what he's talking about. He's got all angles covered. And again, if you want somebody to have a second look at your portfolio, he is the guy, the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
So basically on October 14th, we've been debating back and forth. And I know people have been on Facebook and they've registered for this event that is now not going to include anybody. You know, and I don't want to get into the vaccination thing at this point just yet. If we get into it, there's a couple things I've done some research. In fact, I've got a bit about when people call it research. And what research actually is versus just going on your computer and Googling something. So we talked on Thursday, Fred and I and Mike and Toronto Mike. And I got to be honest with you, I'm just not comfortable with 20 people I don't know in my house, in this studio. And we don't want to get into the have you, you know, making sure everyone's vaccinated and et cetera, et cetera. So we've kind of come up with this idea that we'll just do the show. Phil will be here. Freddie. Yes, Phil. You made a face. Do you not want to be in the studio for the first time in 2 years?
I'm not sure about hanging out with strangers.
Phil. Phil, Fred, Dan, Toronto Mike, and myself. And that evening, it'll be an evening performance. We'll stream the show. And this is a side or beside a Patreon thing that we promise we're going to do. We're going to do a special thing at some point in September. We'll do a little evening thing for our Patreon people only, a little get together for an hour. But this won't be that. That evening, confirmed Stephen Page, confirmed Noel Kassler. One of our favorite guests that we've met in the podcast years. And just in on Thursday, confirmed the mayor of Toronto. Now, that's what we know. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for that applause. We don't know some of the other people that are scheduled to make, you know, video or audio appearances. But we will celebrate our 10 years of independence. Tell some stories, I'm sure, and mostly, I think, just sit around soaking it all in. The fact that we've been able to make somewhat of a living and to provide this content now for 10 years.
Yes, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. I mean, that's what, you know, on one hand, it's, wow, 10 years, that's fantastic. But on the other hand, it's, wow, 10 years, I'm 10 years older. That's a bit disturbing.
It can be.
Because we do this again, I'll be 75.
I was going to say, considering you'll be 75. But you know what? It's also the trick of time that you at 65 don't look much different to me than you at 55. You know, I look at pictures of me and I physically look different. It's interesting because everyone says, oh, Freddie, with your long hair and your beard. But if I looked at some of the pictures of you and I back in the, you know, the 2011s, 12s and 13s, especially. I was just 30 pounds heavier. By 2014, I weighed 30 pounds more than I weigh now. Maybe 2015. And I, you know, was drinking a lot and, you know, life was in turmoil. And, but I look, I physically feel much better. But there's no doubt about it. In 10 years, we're going to be, I'll be 71 and you'll be 75. And that'll be it then.
We can only hope we're talking about that then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious. Wouldn't that be... I'd love to be doing this for another 10 years, to be honest. I really would. I mean, basically, because I think, what else am I going to do?
No, I know you said you've said that recently, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, you know, Stern just signed a 5-year contract. Not that he needs another dollar in his life. It's just that he's... What else would he do?
Well, it's great focus. That's what I love about it. It's having something to think about tomorrow rather than going to Costco or painting a chair, which is fine.
That's
great. Which is fine for some, because I always feel bad saying that, because there's a lot of people that couldn't stand their jobs. They despised it.
Absolutely.
And having something to do is fantastic for them because they're not doing what they hated.
No, I just think that's such a great reference, though. Those are great. Yeah, well, you know, in retirement, what's Dad doing these days? Well, mostly he goes to Costco, and every so often he paints a chair.
Yeah.
I brought this up last week. I don't know if you remember. I said I was playing golf with some guy, and invariably I'm playing golf with men my age that are on the cusp of retirement or have retired, and it's universal. They all really couldn't wait to get to this point. Not because they hated their jobs, but it just wasn't what drove them, or certainly the last 10 years of their jobs wasn't as exciting, say, as the first 10 years. But I think that's where we're lucky, because, you know, I was in the studio here at 6 o'clock, you know, excited to get everything together and send you some emails and go through some of the material. And I don't know what I can only golf so much, right? Physically, I can't play every day.
Oh, really?
No, mm-hmm. Dude, mm-hmm. You know, that's such a, I don't play that much. I mean, I golf every day in some fashion.
Right.
But I don't play very much. Yeah. I mean, I play maybe 3 times a week, you know, pardon me?
No, I was going to say, in the beauty of what we're doing now that we get into the fall, like, seriously, I've even said this to Delise now, the summer's over. I keep saying to her, like, when the show's over on November 21st, like, what am I going to do with the rest of the day? And the fact that we have this to look forward to through all those sort of bleak, boring months is it's great. It really is for me.
No, absolutely, for me too. Mm-hmm. Phil, so in 10 years you'll be how old? 41?
43.
Jesus.
Rachel, I just realized that.
Rachel asked me about you. She said, how is Phil? I said, Phil seems fine.
Well, and I've seen pictures of myself back in 2011 and 2012 when we did K-Rock, for example. And I just remembered my face was fatter. I was tanner. You know, my hair, I had more hair.
What do you mean you were tanner? Your skin color is?
Yeah, I had a darker hue of skin. I guess I was outdoors a lot more.
Okay, but it's not like your skin color has changed as you've aged.
No.
Okay.
No, it's just, I'm just not as active.
So Rachel asked me how old you were. I thought 31, but you're 33. The other question that came up is, do you plan on having a family?
Yeah, eventually.
All right.
Maybe in a few years.
All right.
Well, won't those kids be cute?
Oh, it would be nice. But Pearlie decided that I'll get pregnant and then she does all the bidding.
Yeah, but 10 years, that's fantastic. Been through a lot. And the people we've met along the way, like some of the characters that have worked with us, you know, Sean Sargent, whatever happened to him, wherever he is now.
Yeah, he sent me a note the other day. He had a great round of golf, and he wanted to share that with me, which I thought was very sweet.
Jason Kinder out of the box, remember? Yeah. Kelly Contrera was around for a while.
Kelly was our news person for the first little while. Who? Eileen was around. She was awesome. And then Amanda Barker.
Amanda. No, fantastic. And then some side characters, like the kid that... needed it for his college thing.
The kid that fell asleep.
He sat there miserable every day.
What was that guy's name?
His dad loved the show.
I know,
but he had no interest in being there whatsoever every day.
Philly, what was that kid's name?
I don't remember.
He was a tall guy, right? He fell asleep.
Yeah, I do remember like giving him rides to the subway station, and all he talked about was the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
No,
he's just a weird kid.
Wow. No, the tall kid.
Yeah, he would. He's like Michigan J. Frog. Like he would say nothing in the studio, and then when I take him to the subway station for his commute home, he's blabbing about Middle Eastern politics.
No,
I thought his dad picked him up every day. I think you're talking about.
Yeah, I think you're talking about somebody else.
There were no, no, more no. Than
the one we're talking about is the one that was here in my studio in the house here, who had no interest in being here. Wolverine, exactly.
Yes.
He's not talking about Middle East politics. No,
there was another one. There was another one in our second studio that fell asleep during the show.
Speaking of that, though, what was I this came up for some reason. It came up as conversation, and I couldn't remember. Oh, Rachel, we were out for dinner. We went to a dinner party, and Rachel was talking about the time we went to this kid's funeral at a Muslim mosque, yes, where the women had to come in a certain entrance and the men the other entrance, and I couldn't remember his name that he died. Idris.
Poor Idris.
What was his last name?
Paiwan.
Yeah, Idris. Mm-hmm. Great kid. Worked with us for a couple of years. Well, like a solid couple of years, and we went to his dad's place for our Christmas dinner, and I just remember going to that funeral, but I couldn't remember poor Idris's name. That came up during the last 10 years. We had an actual intern die. Our very first dead intern, by the way.
Yeah. Very sad story.
Okay. Well, so lots of memories of the last 10 years. Yeah.
I'm going to stop talking because, you know, we might spin off into some tasteless thing. So I'm not going to.
Really? You're that worried, what? Are you?
Well, as soon as you come out with our first dead intern, you know, that opens the door. And it's like, oh, now what can I say?
We had two dead asleep interns.
No way. Well, now what can I say?
Well, yeah, now what can I say? So let's just move on.
Well, I got to tell you.
If it was an old guy, I'd go crazy.
Oh, I know you would.
That so untimely, you can't. It's just horrid.
No. It was sad. And I'll tell you, I'm not sure how you'd ever look something like this up, but it was a really, I don't know, compelling, is that the right word? But the day after the funeral, was it his uncle or his father that called the show, Phil?
Right. His uncle.
I think it was his uncle calling to thank us. But that was a tough call, hearing his uncle talk about us being at the funeral and the fact that Idris enjoyed his time with us. It was very sweet. Anyway, so Rachel's telling this story. and I'm with people I barely even know. It was one of her best friends. It's my first time at their house, and there was like six of us in this cool, funky backyard, and lots of food and fun, and everyone's having a great time. And I'm doing my best to try and, you know, not be socially awkward, and, you know, try not to say, you know, anything stupid. And she was telling the story of us going to this wedding. I'm sorry, to this funeral. And just, I don't know how it came up, just the fact that there was some of the women had to wear headscarves. What's the word I'm looking for, Phil? Like
hijabs.
Some had. Anyway, and Rachel didn't have one, and neither did Amanda Barker, who went with us to the funeral. And that they were, her point was, they had them for sale at this mosque. You could buy a headdress if you wanted to go into the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. But that, so she finishes the story, because, and I was said to her after, I was really happy that she didn't tell the other part of the story where I embarrassed her, because that was, I thought she was heading that way. And I don't know if you remember the story, but she and I went to the same entrance. We didn't know there were separate entrances. Right. And so this gentleman came over to us, and this was fairly early in the relationship with Rachel. Guy comes over and he says, oh, I'm sorry, women have to go in another entrance. And I say, well, that's what I told her, but she insisted on coming here anyway. And she was none too fucking pleased by that little joke.
Why?
Well, because...
Did I laugh?
No, well, it was one of those things where it was like, I was just kidding, right? Like, trying to make it like, oh, yeah, well, I told her that. But, you know these women. So, anyway, it did not go over well with her. And I said to her after, I really appreciate you not telling that part of the story, which makes me look like a giant a-hole anyway. And she said, well, why would I do that? I didn't want to make you look bad, or, you know, it was an embarrassing thing. But I was like, oh, because he was telling the story of us going to this funeral. And I thought, oh, well, here we go. here's the first story. But she didn't tell that part, which I thought was very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, anyway. It's,
I know.
I know. It's just still blows me away.
Oh, I know.
You know.
Me too.
2021, and oh, women have to come in a different entrance. Yeah,
I know.
Great.
I
super.
Know.
That's amazing. That's great.
That makes so much sense.
What a great rule. What a great rule.
Isn't religion great?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point of that story, is
no, it?
It
isn't.
Email.
I could go on an hour on that one.
Oh, I know you could. I know you.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. All right. If you want to email us, you can. Humble and Fred. At humbleandfredradio.com. Just a couple quick ones to catch up. Who's this from?
This is from Dave Ryan Howard.
Hi, guys.
Hope you had a great weekend. Now it's time to get serious. Right on.
I am.
Had a very long drive this weekend. Caught up on many missed shows. Really enjoyed the Michael Landsberg interview. Looking forward to more. Excuse me, as for Phil's new job, I used to work for said meatball factory for 16 years, as a matter of fact, and all I could do is laugh and roll my eyes at the publication ban. Anyways, always love listening. Zing, zing, Dave Ryan.
Zingy, zing, zing.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, so there's somebody else that understands what you're going through. That little sign off, the zing, zing.
Yeah.
For the life of me, I kind of remember it. But I can't remember. What was that in response to?
I can't remember either. It brought back memories. On his point, though,
yeah.
All I could do is laugh and roll my eyes at the publication ban. I've referenced, you know, Global and Chorus Entertainment, you know, their podcast division.
Yes.
They have this show called China Rising, which are... buddy Rob Johnson is the producer of.
Yeah.
And Delise put me onto this show, and I've been listening to a few, and I listened to an episode where here in China, how people in Canada, the Chinese government does keep their eye on people and have people on the ground doing mysterious things. So I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, wow, you know, Phil, you know, Phil isn't that crazy. This stuff goes on. And, you know, we can't fully appreciate, you know, what his attachment is to the country and the situation and the politics. So when he says these things, maybe, you know, we should be a little more respectful because this shit's going on, Howie.
Yeah, but you're conflating. I love using that word. You're conflating his being stalked by the Chinese Communist Party with him working at the meatball factory. And I guarantee you the CCP cares more about Phil than the meatball factory people do.
Ah, so you've been reading the right-wing media, Alex. Even I don't pronounce it that way.
Come on.
Jing, 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 jing,
this one is from Jamie Glover says, obviously thought of you when reading this. Now, give me a second because I have it open here. And what he's talking about is a Rolling Stone Twitter posting. And it's a picture of people lined up outside a hospital. It says, gunshot victims left waiting as horse dewormer overdoses overwhelm Oklahoma hospitals, doctors say. And again, not to get into, well, I guess now is as good a time. But, you know, there's so much nonsense going on with this horse dewormer story now. I don't even know, like, how do you put this into perspective that these people are so far gone that they would ingest horse dewormer paste over getting a vaccine? And their story, I wish I could find it now, but I found a story this morning of a patient that is dying of liver disease or kidney disease that was sparked by this horse dewormer. I mean, we're living in fascinating times, my friends.
Well, our friend we often refer to, who seems to have lost his mind, he had a posting on September 1, and all's it said, one word, ivermectin.
Seriously.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, ivermectin. That's the stuff.
So that's just one word. In other words, there's your solution. Forget the vaccines. Let's take the horse pill.
Horse paste. Anyway, okay. I can't find this posting that I saw this morning. I had like 19 tabs open. Right. But basically, it's from a nurse who's saying, you know, this situation in her hospital. She's a critical care nurse. Oh, here it is. Nurse Carla. The patient is blind and in liver failure due to ivermectin OD. Doctor informed him he does not qualify for a transplant. He broke down and begged us to save his life, saying that he refused the vaccination because he thought it was too risky. He thought it was too risky, and now he's dying of ivermectin overdose because he got COVID. Wouldn't get vaccinated, but is taking took this horse dewormer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you guys understand, because I've had horses, and they are different than people. They are. Really? And it's hard to laugh, but I laugh with irony. I mean, I shouldn't laugh, but it's like, seriously, how malinformed are you that you would think that's the solution? And that person that put that up, I don't even know what we should do with that anymore. You thought that was a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how fucked are you? Seriously. Anyway.
Here's one that I find. Remember David Onley?
Yeah, the Governor General of Ontario.
Right.
Also was a city news anchor or something, right?
He posts this. if they can make the entire world population wear masks in 4 months, why can't they make the entire world eat vegetables or exercise? If you can close businesses at will without a thought for anyone's livelihood, why not close the junk food producers or the porn industry? If junk food, alcohol, and cigarettes kill 21 million people every year, why are those items constantly available? Awake yet? And then the response is so obvious. Like, this is an intelligent man, is it not, David Unley?
Yeah, he's smart enough to get to be the Governor General of Ontario. I would assume that would,
Lieutenant Governor.
Lieutenant Governor. I'm assuming that would take some intelligence.
And where I saw this is our friend Lou Skeezes had posted this and says, and posted his response was, make sense. And I'm thinking, well, it makes no sense at all. And then the one reply to this posting says, the virus can kill anyone without their consent. All those other issues are participated in by the free will of the individual. Smoke, drink, poor diet, all voluntary, knowing the risks.
Yeah, which would seem obvious as a response.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Like, so how does that make sense? And why David Onley posts that? That's some profound thing we should think about when it's a total disconnect. One is contagious, the other is not.
Yeah, and that the fact that keeps coming up, the fact that this argument and the ivermectin guy also posted a similar thing, like, you know, then we should make, you know, why aren't we targeting fat people, etc.
And targeting is an odd thing because, and when they talk about, you know, there's mothers against drunk driving, there's Alcoholics Anonymous, there's Weight Watchers, there's, for lack of another term, fat farms. All those things are addressed constantly. You know, quit smoking programs, they're all there. Those things are addressed constantly, but again, they're not contagious. But
no, that's the bottom line is, you know, if I'm smoking, you can choose not to be around me, but you know, and secondhand smoke would be analogous to catching some nicotine or cancer from me. But it's the choice, you know. You might be around me. That gathering you had on Friday night when you were you know, waiting to do this, when you were preparing for your Tony Clement thing, you know, you did, you mentioned there were some friends in that group, and you didn't say whom, but you don't know, maybe one of them was around somebody else and you inadvertently get COVID from them without knowing it. And why these guys, you know, the barter guy and Lou Skeezes and these guys, why that seems not obvious to them is, I think, worth a conversation at some point. I would like to have a rational conversation where someone tries to, or presents David Onley to come on and present why he thinks that's a valid argument. Because maybe we're missing something. You know, that could be.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe we're missing something. Because obviously, some very smart-ish people... Phil?
I'm just looking through David Onley's Twitter account, and one of his retweets was about another City News reporter getting vaccinated as a good thing. So I wonder why he quoted Lou Skeezes in the first place. Is it as an irony or something? Because, you know, as you guys mentioned, such a respectable figure like him, if he agreed with that.
Yeah, maybe it was an ironic post and we're just misinterpreting.
So the way David quoted it was, cue the Jeopardy music. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's negative or positive.
Well, that's it. Couldn't figure.
Well, it doesn't make sense. I'll tell you the truth. It doesn't make sense coming from him, knowing sort of what kind of guy he is.
Well, it doesn't make sense coming from Lou either to say it makes sense.
Also true.
It doesn't make sense.
No. Hi, guys.
Just to quickly clean up, I think there's one more, not the Bodog one. I wanted you to have the... Well, there's two more. One from our friend James Needham, who is a great guy, gave us a bunch of meat. Then he moved to a warm place, I think it was Bahamas or something, and he came back. And he has a little thing for you there.
What? I'm sorry, I'm scrolling down.
He says, we all know it's time to get serious after Labor Day, but how about, because you know how you have your little hooray, hooray, it's the 1st of May?
Oh, right. He says, remember, it's the 1st of September. No more outdoor play for your member.
There you go.
Awkward, but it worked.
Yeah, it worked. Mm-hmm. Mike Schuster. Thank you, Dave. James. Mike Schuster says, I thought you guys would appreciate some good news. Mike's, of course, our aviation correspondent. And he says, please see attached. And what it is the city of Guelph, 84% fully vaccinated, 90% at least one dose. And when those numbers are across the country, then we might be able to put this thing behind us.
You know, Howard, New York State still, you know, I think their numbers are worse than ours. Watching the Jays game from New York yesterday, it really is over in the minds of those people.
Oh, absolutely.
And did you see the video of Virginia Tech? The football game there,
yeah, I did.
Like 100,000 people
cheering,
like shoulder to shoulder, and it's like, you know, maybe on some level that's the way through this. That maybe these things will happen, and it won't be as bad as we think if enough people are vaccinated or something. I'm just how careless that seems on the surface. How are so many people doing it?
Well, I agree, but there's something we're not getting, because I watched the Tour Championship this weekend. Yeah. Same thing. You know, tens of thousands of people crowded around only 30 players. And I'm like, well, I guess it's all because they're all, no one's wearing a mask anymore.
No.
This was in Atlanta, this golf course. East Lake is the name of the place. And everyone is just like, you know, and there's Rachel and I going out for dinner or going out to a movie. We're in masks until the movie starts. You know, it's like we're living in a different universe here.
Well, I'm thinking as this unfolds over the next couple of months, if it's not as bad as we expect it to through that behavior, is that sort of an indication that maybe we can relax and live with this thing on some level?
Canada yesterday had less, the entire country that we live in, it's called Canada, we had less than 1,000 cases. We're going to get to Bill Brio in a second. He's standing by. TV feeds his family, and we're god dang lucky to have him here. But first, how about a message from these fine folks, Friedrich?
Hey, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Yes, they have. Go to bodog.eu. Check out all the trending sports, including the NFL, which kicks off Thursday night. How does that feel? Yeah, Thursday night the NFL starts. And how about this, football fans? There's a super bonus for you when you go to bodog.eu. Check it out today. I mean, it's very, very generous. Baseball is getting tense. The NHL is coming. It's all there. And it all adds to the excitement of bodog.eu.
Slash sports, I think, is the end of that sentence. Where are you reading that, off our site or off their site?
Half and half.
Okay. Well, just I'm just saying that it's bodog.eu/sports.
No, I wrote that.
Oh, you did write that. Okay. T2 Utility Engineers is what I'm talking about now, Philly. Specializes in services to reduce the risk of existing underground and above ground utilities on infrastructure construction projects. What they do, folks, is they provide accurate, reliable utility information and years of experienced insight to help clients reduce risk and avoid costly problems and safety issues during construction. Look them up. They've been leading the subservice, I say that wrong every time, subsurface utility engineering industry, supporting big projects like the light rail systems across Canada since 2002. Come on, man. You can check them out at T2UE.com. T2UE.com. T2 Utility Engineers. Bow, bow, bow. Every month we are lucky to have our friend Bill Brio drop in. TV feeds his family. Bill Welcome to our program. You can turn your camera on if you have a second.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I saw an old episode of Zach Galifianakis interview. It was like bloopers or whatever, and he was interviewing Letterman. He cracked him up. He goes, "Well, it's been great talking to homeless Santa." And I thought,
yeah,
you.
I know.
And then you come on there. I'm like, there he is. Look, it's Street Santa.
Well, Street Santa. I like that, Howard. Yeah, I'm gonna get the shirts made.
You've got lots to catch up on. Of course, 9/11's coming up in a few days, and it's always great to check in with you. Are you back from the lake now? Are you going to be in the home office for the remainder, or are you going to be going back and forth?
I'm going to head back up there tomorrow, Howard. I think September is a lovely month in that it's less crowded in the cottage areas, and I kind of like that. So it's a good place to hide out, and I can Zoom from there, right?
Of course.
So any day in outside of Brampton, Fred, I think is a good day.
Oh, nice.
So, Bill, how does that change your situation there, the crowds? Like, how do the crowds affect you when you're there?
It's just on the bay that I'm on Lake Huron, mm-hmm. It's a lovely shallow bay for swimming, and mm-hmm. a lot of folks come. So it's quite everybody's got a Sea-Doo and a kite flying thing now. And there's a guy that goes over with all the cottages. He literally is strapped. He's got a motor strapped to his ass on a kite. he just hovers over all the time. It's like someone's cutting the grass in the air above you.
That's great.
So it's nice to sort of tone all that down, I guess, in September.
You know, Billy, speaking of which, it was 2 or 3 years ago, I took my grandson to get an ice cream cone, and we walk out of the place, and all these people are going, "Look, look." And a guy literally fell out of the sky in one of those things with the motor. And he came down, he got caught in the hydro wires, didn't die. He was dangling there. It was something else. But as he's coming down, I grabbed my grandson, John, and I turned him around so he couldn't watch because it looked like he was coming. It looks like he was going to hit the highway.
Oh, my God.
No, and at the last minute, he catches the hydro wires and he's just dangling there. And then the emergency people have to come and all that stuff. But I don't know where people get the balls to get into that stuff. Like,
no, I know.
You would do it. It's like a lawnmower engine on your back.
No,
right?
I know exactly.
Although when I look up and look at that, I go, damn, that looks like fun.
No. I was going to say, years ago, I was at Oshkosh, which is a huge fly-in air show type of thing, and people with all kinds of planes. And my buddy Dave and I were walking around, and we saw those guys with the kites strapped to a lawnmower. Both of us are like, no chance. Sorry. No, thank you. How about no? Let's talk TV. There's an interesting bunch of, obviously, 9/11 is huge with the 20th anniversary, and it's an interesting article. You said you spoke with a bunch of different people. Why don't you tell us about that? And when is the story running in the Star? Give us some background.
Yeah, the Toronto Star is planning a special commemorative section for 9/11, the 20th anniversary, and I'm fortunate to be part of that. So I talked to the news anchors at the time in Canada who covered that story. Where were they when they heard about it, when the plane smacked into the towers, and how fast did they get into the office? You know, these guys, like back then it was Peter Mansbridge and Lloyd Robertson and Kevin Newman, Gordon Martineau, they wouldn't be getting ready to go in anywhere. They did the mm-hmm. evening shift, so they had to hustle to work. So that story will tell everyone exactly how it unfolded for them. And most of them were on the job 14, 15, 16 consecutive hours that day. I was working at the Toronto Sun back then, and I remember we put out I call it a bugle, but that's not it's a bulldog. Bulldog edition, which is an afternoon newspaper. And it was the first time in like 25 years the Sun had put one out because morning newspaper. So very frenzied, frightening time in a newsroom. And it was very interesting to be part of that mix.
I bet. I watched a little bit of a documentary on Netflix on the weekend with Rachel. It's called Turning Point, 9/11 and the War on Terror. And yeah. it's about a 7 or 8 part series. Very interesting.
Yeah.
It's yeah, just it, to relive with those, you know, it hit the 92nd floor. Imagine being above the 92nd and what those people went through and all those horrific shots of the people hanging out the windows. And it's just something else that day.
Yeah, there was a special I saw yesterday, and it was they were interviewing Elton John, who has a portrait in his house mm-hmm. of the falling man. There was a famous yeah. photo of a yep. gentleman, sadly, who leapt to his death, and he's head first descending the tower. And John had it in his... I thought, why would you ever want to look at that? Mm-hmm. To him, it's one of the most fascinating photos ever taken. I suppose, you know.
I see that. It really, I mean, it's disturbing and it's heartbreaking. And I've been to the 9/11 Museum now a couple times in recent years, and they've got a shot of it. And it never fails to, you know, it's obviously it evokes a lot of emotions and a lot of, it's a controversial picture, but.
Yeah. Jump or burn. I just can't imagine the terror that those people went through. No. I mean, that's why when I start watching these things, I started watching that one too, Howard. But after a while, it's like, it's just so disturbing.
Yeah.
That I can't take too much of it.
I'm the same. And I mm-hmm. recall, you know, Rachel and I were talking about it because it was her that told me about the documentary. No, I have a bit of a 9/11 thing. I said to her that same thing. You know, like I remember you and I were in New York about 6 or 7 weeks after 9/11, early right. November. We were walking around Lower Manhattan. There were still areas around the Trinity Church there you couldn't get near. And I recall, and correct me, it was still smoldering.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever
we
I see those,
smell it.
Yeah, whenever when I see those shots, and one of them was in the documentary of something was still burning, that's when I start going, well, that of course is thermite, and that was used to bring the towers down, and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, metal isn't burning for 2 months after, under normal circumstances.
Well, what fascinates me too, and you're right, Howard, I've been to that memorial site as well, and it's very moving. And you look up at that new tower, and it's quite a perspective. But to me, what's interesting, and some of these specials touch on this, is that 20 years ago when this happened, the world changed, and there was a period there where it was very sobering. I remember yes. there was a music, they had a lot of talent get together. They lit about 1 million candles. And you had all kinds of rock stars singing Imagine and different songs in a very quiet church-like atmosphere. And there seemed to be sort of, it brought people together in a strange way. Ever since then, though, America and North America have been so divided. And it's just a bizarre to think back that there might have been an opportunity to change the world that quickly dissipated within maybe half a year. And that's the sad part of looking back on that occasion, I think.
Well, I agree totally. And of course, in terms of what's happened recently about Americans withdrawing from Afghanistan, here's a reminder. They went there because of 9/11. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some mindless stuff. September's new fall TV. Interesting that television is like a lot of TV in eras. By the way, Billy, just a quick sidebar. I've watched more of the history of the sitcom. Mm-hmm. Just so good.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. I watched another episode last night. Just really, if you haven't taped it or whatever video, you can always find it somewhere. But it's really, really well done.
You know what I didn't know? The one I watched the other night. Number one, that All in the Family originally was proposed for ABC.
Yeah.
And they rejected it. And Mike and Gloria, they were the third pair.
I didn't know that. I watched that last. I had no idea.
Yeah. Neither did I. And I found that very interesting because, again, Mike and Gloria, I mean, Sally Struthers and Rob Reiner just seem...
Yeah,
I mean, they're it. It's hard to believe they considered two other couples.
You can't imagine anyone else in those parts. No. But
right.
Yeah, that was the third pilot. Like the first one was shot in 68. The fact it got on the air at all is a miracle.
It is remarkable. Yeah.
different time and wonderful show.
And the fact that I didn't know, because I just watched that episode last night, that Fred Silverman, who was legendary at NBC, he was actually working at CBS, I guess, at the time. And the other thing I thought was interesting is that All in the Family really sort of began, kind of put CBS on the map in terms of, you know, one of the big networks. But you're going to be talking today about two reboots. A show called, remember, you know, Doogie Howser, who I used to love that show with the kid. And they're redoing that and The Wonder Years.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris was Doogie 30 years ago. He was a 16-year-old phenom who'd whiz through, you know, medical school in 4 months and was operating on people and everything. And you look back on that show and Neil Patrick Harris looks about 8 years old. Like, he looks really young. Yeah. So they've got a new version, and the producers of this, they sat down with, this was a Stephen Bochco show, and Bochco was the guy behind Hill Street Blues and L.A. Law and NYPD Blue, and Doogie Howser was one of his shows, and he would win all the Emmys, and really was the reason we hear this term showrunner. It was because of Stephen Bochco, and so the people behind Fresh Off the Boat met up with Bochco's widow and son, Jesse, who I guess retained the rights to it. And they're part of the producers of the new show. And it's now set in Hawaii. It stars a young actress who is an Asian American actress. And it's about a young woman who's now a medical phenom. And her colleagues call her Doogie because they grew up watching Doogie Howser.
So there's a reference to it. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, they reached out to Neil Patrick Harris, who didn't want to shoot through COVID, didn't want to go to Hawaii with his family where this is actually shot. So maybe season two.
So there's that and a reboot of the Wonder Years.
Yeah. The Wonder Years, again, you know, they've diversified it. So it's now an African-American family. It's going to be, it's still set in 1968, but it's moved to not Chicago where the original series was set, but Montgomery, Alabama. Don Cheadle is the narrator of the new version. And it's actually very well made. It's very interesting. You know, it's a nice spin on it, but it just shows you here we are in 2021. There's such a high priority put on diversifying television by all the networks. And these are examples of classic sitcoms that weren't very diverse back in the day and a new spin being added.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm not big on the reboots, but this one, yeah, is somewhat interesting. Again, Chicago, different location, different race, different culture. It might make sense to do this one.
And Billy, I don't want to rush you, but I do want to get to a couple of these because I can't wait to see this Muhammad Ali doc on PBS airing September 19th through the 22nd, produced by Ken Burns, a legendary documentarian. One of his big ones, of course, is the doc on baseball and others through the years. This has got to be fascinating.
Yeah, it's terrific. Now, there's been a lot of documentaries on Muhammad Ali. If you wanted to see him just fight George Shivalo, there's a documentary on that. There's one with Dick Cavett talking about
Ali fought Dick Cavett.
He just beat the crap out of him. Yeah, he left nothing.
I don't remember that fight.
Well, it was only one round.
The Thrilla in Connecticut.
Cavett had him on like 12, 13 times, and the two of them had a rapport, and they actually hung out together. Ali stayed over once at his place. Like, it's an interesting relationship, so that's a pretty good documentary, too. But Ali was great on every talk show, and you know, fascinating to watch. And Burns captures him right from his humble roots in Louisville, right through to his death about 4 years ago after suffering from Parkinson's for many years. So it really is cradle to the grave. You see great clips from his fights. Burns has, they took their time, took 7 years making this, and they found the 35-millimeter neg of the Clarence Big Cat Williams fight, which a lot of people consider Ollie's masterpiece in 66. But you also see Foreman, you see the Thriller in Manila, all of those great fights are there, and everything in between, all the Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam, you know, the draft, all of that is, of course, a big part of this story.
Amazing. Well, we're looking forward to seeing it. Thanks for the heads up about that. And just a couple quick ones. There's a new spinoff of Kim's Convenience called Strays, set in Hamilton. Finally.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
Finally, Hamilton gets the series it deserves.
Thank goodness. Yeah, no, Strays is a spinoff. You're right. This is, if people watched Kim's Convenience for five seasons, they saw Shannon Ross. She played the manager of the rent-a-car business. And now she's moved to Hamilton. She's looking after Strays. I've seen the first two episodes. It's very similar to Kim's. There was some controversy. Some of the other stars basically complained, why was the non-Asian Canadian the only one singled out for a follow-up, for a spin-off series? Mm. You know, but some of that seemed a bit sour. The Kim's, yeah, unfortunately, should have lasted another year, and it all kind of went down in flames. But people could maybe hopefully see past that and give this new show a chance.
There were some compensation issues through that show too, from what I understand, is who was getting paid and why, and
a lot of issues.
Sounded like a bit of a shit show. Howard, did we ever have Michael K. Williams on our show?
From where?
The Wire, the guy who died over the weekend.
Yeah. No, we did not.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was just surprised. Whenever a guy dies, I thought maybe he sat in the chair.
In the death chair?
Yeah. Anyway, I say that because...
great actor. You're right.
Boone's a huge fan of that series, which I've never seen. Have you?
I've taken a few runs at it, and I don't know. It hasn't hooked me yet, but everybody I talk to that loves it really, really loves it.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. They love it like crazy. So that's... I mean, it is ironic that they're wondering why there wasn't an Asian spinoff, but it was already an Asian show. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was already 5 years of an Asian-centric sitcom. So there was the controversy, was it that it wasn't spun off to another Asian sitcom?
Well, you know, it was about Korean Canadians, and it was very much a personal. It was actually a play. Innis Cho was the creator of it, and he basically just thought it was done. 5 years is enough, but they had a deal for six, and that's unheard of in television, to walk away. And so, you know, if you're an actor in that show, you're thinking, we've got another year to pay off the house, to do this, to do that, and then all of a sudden, boom, the rug's out. So things got a little nasty at the end, and a lot of fingers were being pointed.
Okay. You say that only Murders in the Building is your new favorite series. We'll just leave that, because I did want to say, and Dan Duran, if you're listening, let's get you on here. Just a couple of quick ones. I got to tell you, I went through WandaVision finally.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. It's nothing like I thought it was going to be. And you don't have to be a Marvel fan. Although there is just quickly, let's go back to Kim's Convenience. There's a Marvel. I saw the trailer for that Marvel episode, or the Marvel movie, starring the guy from Kim's Convenience.
Yeah, Simu
Liu.
Liu is the star, and he just rocks it. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but the clips look fantastic.
Yeah.
And he was the one that kind of took a few shots at Shannon Ross. The two have spoken and made up. I talked to her recently, but, you know, he's at a whole other level now, this guy. He's just a superstar, and he's throwing the first pitch at baseball games, and he's living the life for sure.
Well, I saw some of the clips, the trailer at, I went and saw Free Guy, the Ryan Reynolds movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Have you seen it?
No.
It's fantastic. What were we going to say, Freddie?
No, I was just going to say, last night, Delise and I watched an Apple TV original called The Banker, which I would recommend as well. Very interesting.
Look at you with all the channels, Apple TV and such.
That. Wow. That's awesome.
Yes.
Fucking Apple TV, Morgan Fred, Freeman, man. Huh? Mm-hmm. Apple TV. Look at you living large with the Apple TV.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy what you can do with somebody else's password.
So WandaVision I got through and just loved it. And the other one that I can't remember when I've ever anticipated, you know, Fridays as much as I do now for every episode of Ted Lasso. God damn it. Fred, get that password and Howard, start.
I'm right up to. I've seen them all. I'm right up to date.
You've seen episode 7.
I've seen them all.
Tell me, yeah. Do you not love this series?
I love the first season way more than the second season, but yes, I like it.
Mm-hmm. This Ted Lasso's the vaccine for television. It just it makes you feel better. There's something just very uplifting about Sudeikis and that show. You know, it's probably being overpraised a bit. You're right, Fred. It's not as funny this in season 2, but a lot of people feel that way about only Murders in the Building too. Why isn't it funnier? Because it's a murder mystery. It's an Agatha Christie story, you know, and just they're just so wonderful in it. So
I don't agree with you completely. Yeah, the first season it was so remarkable because it's new and you're like, wow, this guy and what he's going through. And there was a couple of very teary moments when, you know, the wife goes back to the States and he says goodbye to his son. Yeah, so it's not as novel in the second season, but I still really like it.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
don't get me wrong. I am getting you wrong. Every Friday, I look forward to watching the next one.
But I watched episode 7 last night, and the characters are not as new as they were, but I like Roy Blunt or Roy Kent. What's his name? Roy Kent?
It's either Blunt or Kent.
I think, one of those. I
can't pull it out. Sorry.
I just don't know where you go with that show. Like, can you see a season 3? Like,
I wish they would. I just like Ted Lasso. I just like him. You know what's a great point you said, Bill? It's like the vaccine for television. You just feel good. You feel nice when it's over.
It's very up.
Yeah, it is very up. Listen, man, thanks for everything. Bill Brio. My pleasure. Always a pleasure. There he is, homeless Santa. And give us the details of where we can find you, sir.
I'm going to pitch Homeless Santa to Netflix. I think there's an opportunity there. Please come visit Brio, BRIOUX.TV, and the latest podcast. We got Kevin Newman up, thanks to Phil. We got a great podcast with him talking in 9/11 and this special coming on Global on Friday called Disruption, 20 Years of Global National.
All right, man. Always a pleasure, Bill Brio. There you go. Thanks for being with us today.
Our Gigs Guy guest of the day.
Our Gigs Guy guest of the day, Billy B. And Fred, what can you tell us about Gigs Guy?
Well, Gigs Guy, you heard Rudra on the show last Thursday. Gigs Guy's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. When traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. So go to gigsky.com/aeromobile to see the list of partner airlines, okay? Download the GigSky app for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries worldwide. It's the easiest and most affordable way to stay connected internationally. Okay, calling up directions, looking for restaurants, you know, all that stuff while you're traveling. All GigSky data plans prepaid, no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for and your service is never ever throttled, okay? GigSky.com.
You know, Freddie's been talking about the Chamber Plan, and I want to tell you right now. It is the Chamber of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, and its benefits enjoyed by small businesses like ours, employees up to 100 people, 30,000 of them across the country. It's simple, it's stable. And what stable means is, you know, if you're a smaller company with, you know, 10 employees and, you know, 1 year somebody uses a lot of the benefits and a lot of these plans, what that does is it jacks your rates up. But because of the pooling aspect of the Chamber's plan, that company, our company, your company, can be more judicious in terms of budgeting because you know that the plan will be the same. You know, the premiums go up rarely, if at all. Simple, stable, and smart. The Chamber Plan, group insurance benefits across this country. Chamberplan.ca. And now the pre-chat with Dan Duran, who is, of course, our anchorman. But before we get to the news, Dan, I understand, and I'm not surprised, by the way, no joke here, but the Fred man was quite effusive about your skills on the golf pitch. Is it the golf pitch? What do you guys call it? The golf field? You golfers, what do you call that?
The golf runway.
But I told Fred, he told me you were quite good. And I said, I'm not surprised. Dan Duran's got a lot of strength in those giant arms.
Yeah, well, it was my once a year golf game, and you know, got me more interested because through the whole thing there were some great shots, and you know, I didn't really care. Like Fred was keeping score, and he'd cut it off at double par. So anytime I exceeded, you know,
that par had
times
nothing.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
He would mark it and cap it at that. But there was one or two holes that just worked out great. The last hole was fantastic for me.
Yes, I understand you birdied the last hole you played.
Yeah, it was
no bogeyed.
Bogeyed.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought you told me he birdied it.
No, I told you he bogeyed it.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yes. No, it would have been great if he had it. It wouldn't have surprised me, because here's the thing. Score doesn't matter at all. It doesn't even matter for me, it seems. But for Dan, it's just the way he hits the ball. I mean, his swing is nice, and the ball goes up and away. And obviously, he doesn't golf that much. So, you know, aim and judging distance is a little bit of an issue for him right now, because he doesn't golf.
Of course.
My point is, the mechanics are there, that if he did golf more... My goodness, it wouldn't take him long to figure that out.
Well, before, and Fred will confirm this, Dan, before you guys went out, I said, you know, I've been out with Dan a few times, and he takes a remarkable grown-up, you know, swing at it. Mm-hmm. And then after we spoke, and I was, again, not surprised, because I've, again, seen you over the years, and as I pointed out to Fred, your forearms are so strong from all the handiwork, and of course, you know,
no. The handiwork. We can just stop
the
there,
handiwork. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a tool that needs that kind of attention, you get big forearms.
Uh-huh.
That's where it comes from.
Absolutely, yeah.
But by the 18th, he had sort of, you know, got a little more of a feel for it. And it's a long par 4, the 18th there at 6 Foot Bay. Beautiful tee shot, a second shot. Straight right down the fairway, third onto the green, and then a two putt. I mean, he had a putt for par, but he just missed it. But it was beautiful. It was a nice. It was a beautiful thing to watch. I wish that was me.
I'm very happy.
Thank you. I had to laugh because our friend Dan Kingsbury.
Oh yeah,
he was the fourth.
Yeah.
His son is a sports psychologist.
Yes, Adam.
So Danny turned into a sports psychologist on the thing. He kept coaching me every swing. Don't worry about anything else.
That's
don't
correct.
Listen to those guys. You know,
don't pay attention to that Freddie chirping you all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, well, you I know didn't chirp. All I did was encourage. I never criticized one thing he said. I didn't.
Well, listen.
And I took one piece of advice from you, Howard, which is when addressing the ball, I address the ball. And you said, just say, hello, ball.
Hello, ball.
I did that.
Man, it sounds, I would love this game you guys talk about. I would love to try it out myself someday.
Hey, you should give it a shot.
Yes. Give it a shot. All right.
Gander and the Anchorman comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now, Dockside with the Humble and Fred News. Here's anchorman Dan Duran.
Today is National Beer Lovers Day. Beer being the most consumed alcoholic beverage on the planet. I'm not sure that it actually needs a special day for it, but okay. Beer. Banksy. You know that guy that no one knows?
Yeah.
He's a graffiti artist that when he paints on a wall, the wall instantly becomes valuable.
Yeah, a couple years ago, there was a Banksy exhibit here in Toronto. Went and saw that, you know, like all the cool people.
Yeah. It was also a couple years ago, he sold a painting called Girl with a Balloon. It's famous. He's done it on walls and stuff, but he did an actual painting, and it sold for $1.4 million at Sotheby's. And right after that, a gavel came down. A paper shredder was activated that was embedded in the frame, and it shredded half the painting. Remember
nice.
That?
Yeah, it was cool. Mm-hmm.
So amazingly, the buyer just still decided to go through, even though the painting was destroyed. He went through with the purchase. Now he's selling it. The half-shredded painting, now titled Love is in the Bin, instead of Girl with a Balloon.
Yeah.
It's going up for auction again. Again, it's Sotheby's on October 15th, and the gavel will, when it comes down, it's estimated that it'll sell for $5 million.
That's because rich people are crazy. They really are.
Exactly, yeah.
Fucking rich people, man. Can you imagine
I'm hoping there's some sort of something else that's in the frame that will activate as soon as the gavel strikes, and then, you know, like acid or, I don't know, flames up. Or
Ivermectin gets sprayed out of the little girl's balloon, and everyone sucks down the horse dewormer. Yeah. All right. Any more?
All right.
Dan Duran's news continues with news and views. There's more of Dan Duran.
I just thought I threw a couple of anti-masker stories out there. They were throwing gravel at Trudeau on the weekend in London.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the video. It's pretty disturbing, really. You know,
it's like, what's like, okay, do your anti-mask thing, but you know, when does throwing gravel and stuff have anything to do with the protests? I mean,
some of it actually hit him like in the back.
Yeah,
and he turned around and looked pissed. I don't blame him. I would want to run into that crowd and you know what, but
yeah.
Not a good thing to do when you're the prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I can just see you flailing around. You're,
imagine either one of you guys.
But again, I think on some level it's a good thing because you can, you know, if you're like a moderate anti-masker, anti-vax person, and then you look and think, like, this is my group, maybe it'll make you to come over to the logical side, you know?
Because to be fair, not everyone on that side of the argument, some people are just hesitant with, although we both have said this now, I can see you being hesitant in April, May, and June, but you know, that argument is waning for me as every day goes by. But yeah, the idea of throwing rocks at our prime minister because you think, I don't know, whatever it is you think, is just, I hope they were arrested and beaten.
You'd think there would be an arrest of some sort. I mean, if that was the American president,
can you imagine?
Something a little different would happen?
Well, I'll tell you, if it was the American president doing whatever Trudeau was doing, they would have never gotten close enough to land a pebble on the back of the prime minister.
Although, didn't somebody, a journalist from the Middle East, throw a shoe at Bush once or something? Wasn't it?
Yeah, but those are the old days. Remember? Yes. Those are the old days.
That was in Turkey.
That was interesting. Yeah. He took his shoe. I think it was Bush, right?
Oh, yeah, it was Bush. Yeah. It was a reporter at a press conference, though.
Yeah, he took his shoe off and whipped it at the president. Yeah, that's a bit risky.
He ducked.
So angry. Can you imagine? I'm so angry at you guys. I'll get my shoe. God damn.
Yeah.
No, I don't see our next participant here, so I guess we can just hang out for a bit with Dan Duran. Right. Well, I'm anyway.
Did you hear about that girl in the States, a Vermont high school kid? She was, I don't know, she's 14 or something, and she gave the bird to anti-mask protesters outside her school. And then somebody took a picture of it. It was a great shot because it was an anti-mask poster out of focus, and then she was in focus in the school bus giving a finger with a mask on. And I think that's the only time that a, you know, kid at that age would get praised for doing it. Her parents said they were proud of her. Went viral, and now she's being offered scholarships because of that.
Wow.
That's bizarre. The Americans.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots and lots of stories every day coming out. But even here, you know, I'm watching the Blue Jay games from Rogers Center over the weekend. Very few people in Toronto were wearing masks because you're supposed to wear a mask unless you're eating. And I, you know, people are either, you know, making a bag of popcorn last the whole game or nursing a beer the whole game, or they're just not wearing masks. They aren't. And I was thinking about that the other day. How do you police that? Even though when you go in, they say you must wear a mask when you're not eating. How would you ever police that?
You can't.
What are you going to have the usher say, hey, over there, put your mask on? Like, it's just
impossible. How many people are we talking about at the game?
15,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
You throw gravel at them.
Yeah, that's the anti-mask. If you're an anti-masker, don't forget your gravel when you go out. The fight between pro-vaxxers and anti-vaxxers is really not fair. This is somebody I follow on Twitter called Science, the Journey to Truth. To win over the fence-sitters, pro-vaxxers have to show real evidence that the vaccine is both safe and effective. Anti-vaxxers simply have to sow seeds of doubt. And most of us who are pro-vaxxers really aren't even equipped, I'm not anyway, to have an argument, you know, of what the efficacy of vaccines and throwing around mRNA and how the vaccine has been safe and we've been working on them for years. I mean, I'm equipped with some of it, but I don't have all the real details. But if you're an anti-vaxxer, you don't need any of the real details. All you have to do is go, yeah, well, what about the microchips inside of Bill Gates's farts? You know,
it's like
you just make up shit.
It's like a court of law, right? You know, the pressure, the onus, or the
burden of proof.
The burden of proof. Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, but that's what it's all about. And that's why I guess they're so vocal and why they survive, because it's for everything you just said. Just throw a little doubt out there and the nonsense continues.
It's interesting because a lot of people who responded to that tweet use the court of law argument, saying, like, if you're the prosecution, you have to come up with all the facts, all the details. If you're the defense, all you have to do is call into question some of the veracity of the details, and or go after the defendant, go after the victim, and sow seeds of doubt about their. And here's another one. You know, we've talked about when people, I mean, I've had this joke about when people, so I was doing some research. This is before vaccinations. And I go, you mean you were Googling something? So here's somebody responding. Nobody is doing their own research. All you're doing is finding someone to corroborate what you already believe. Unless you're a scientist running a peer-reviewed study, you only know what you've been told by someone else. You don't have access or better access to data than the CDC. You have Google and a flimsy grasp of science or logic. It says we have experts for a reason. You don't know anything. You don't know how anything works, let alone the human body at a cellular level. You don't even know how your radio works, let alone the internet, which again is true. You know, these people spouting all the nonsense, they don't have better information than the CDC. They don't.
Yeah, I know some of the signs too. The one, you know, this isn't about health, it's about control. That just blows me away. It just blows me away because I'm, you know, if the government wanted to control you, they don't need a vaccine. They've been doing it or can do it in many other ways. Why are you picking on this one?
No, I know.
And that's your argument.
And I saw that nitwit Chris Sky again on the weekend yelling and spouting his, you know, just say no. And, you know, that argument about infringing on our rights. And I know. Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say that's such a weak argument because we have to be a part of a society. We make a deal with society. Is it like we all agree that there's certain things we have to do in a society? We've talked about this a lot of times.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's just a weird.
I would say this to an anti-vaxxer: when you're driving home, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you stop at a red light? Okay. Well. You're already complying with society's rules. You're already being controlled. You know, you can't travel without a passport. You can't, and all these arguments. You can't drive a car without a license. And yeah, the word I like is we've made a covenant with each other that we won't run red lights.
No, but here's the thing. I mean, let's be clear on this. It's two separate things. You cannot mandate or make anyone get a vaccine. You just can't. Never. In a free society, can you do that? The thing is, the problem here is the people that choose not to get it, they don't want to get it, but they also want to be able to do everything else everyone can do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's where this thing gets screwed up a bit, when they leave the impression that somebody somewhere is saying you have to get a vaccination. Well, no, you don't. But with that comes consequences. And, you know, I mean, you want to use traffic analogy. It's like, I want to drive a car. Well, I can't. You've said it. You can't do it without a license. Very simple.
The other day I got pulled.
The thing is, if you want to go to a Jays game, you can't do it without a vaccine.
And, you know, very soon, you're not going to be able to do a lot of things without proof of vaccination. Well, I didn't tell you this last week on the way to my little golf tournament thing. I came off the highway. Heading up, I guess, north on Young, up near Newmarket area. And you know how it's like, sometimes when you've come off a ramp and then right away you're on a residential street, I was going faster than I didn't mean to be going that fast. I was doing 95 in a 70 zone, which is easy to do. And I got pulled over, and young officer, and I, you know, very nice, let me off with a warning. So, you know, but there are rules, you know, license and registration, and, you know, talked about the fact that I needed to update my sticker and all that stuff. Those were all rules and regulations. The deal that we make with one another is to not go 95 in a 70 zone.
Holy cow, 95 in a 70, your sticker needs to be updated. If you weren't the great Humble Howard, you could have been nailed, eh?
Oh, well, here's the thing.
What?
I told him I was friend. I said it. He says, it says Howard Glassman. I go, I know, but on the show, I play Fred.
Okay.
So that's how I got off.
Right. One other point to make on that is,
yes, Dan Duran,
it's other people's freedoms too that we're talking about, and it's where the freedoms cross over. So it's the business's freedom to say, I can let these people in and not these people in. Among certain guidelines, we say that racism is not one that you can do that with, but certainly, you know, vaxxing and, you know, shirts, sir, you know, sir, is no shoes, shirts and all that.
Shirts
that
or no shirts.
There's just so much, there's so much hypocrisy through it, because you notice a lot of the anti-vaxxers are also anti-abortionists, and it's just that hypocrisy is, I can do whatever I want with my body, up to me, except for that woman who's pregnant, which she can't. And you look at Texas, you know, like, their vaccination numbers are horrific, yet they just passed a law last week that pretty much abolishes abortion in that state.
I know.
Like, how crazy is that?
No, it's just, and someone's been sharing that Carlin thing about how the government doesn't give a shit about these right wingers. They only care about the fetus, but once it's born, they don't give a shit about it again until it's 18 years old and they can use it for military service. That fucking country, you can't drink until you're 21, but you can go to war at 18, 19, and 20. How fucked up is that? Talk about a puritanical, backwards, shithole country. Anyway, don't get me started. Dan Duran.
Yeah.
You would love you would love WandaVision, by the way. You especially would love it. Freddie would love
it. Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
You have seen it. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Great show.
Great show. Ted Lasso, I think you'd like. The new Ryan Reynolds movie I saw, you would like. The new
You saw that one?
I did.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that one. I love Ryan Reynolds.
No, and he's Canadian. Yeah, it's great in this. He's great in this movie. It's very a different movie. You might find it interesting too, Freddie. But I was going to the movies was great. You know, to our point, you have to go in with a mask on until you sit down and you can eat your food and watch the movie. But everyone is separated, and then you need to, when you go to the washroom or leave, you put your mask back on. But we're still following these rules here in Canada, where in the States, the fucking thing is over. It's like all done now.
It appears to be, and it doesn't matter, even in the state, like even in California, like all the stadiums are full. And isn't there a big, you know, another wave down there with troubling numbers or something? It's just
the Delta variant.
It doesn't matter. It's weird. You know, is that going to happen here?
Probably.
Do you have any more sponsors to talk about? Because I, in the absence of our guest today from Health Gauge, I'm going to...
No, you did Chambers Plan. We're all good.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, you told a really interesting story about Health Gauge. And Freddie, don't forget Big Ass Fans. Or do right. I? Am I doing fan. That? Am I doing Big Ass Fans?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm doing that too. Well, crap. You talk. Well, then you know what? You talk about a Health Gauge because, you know, you mentioned you've hooked up your watch to receive. So, you know, when you get messages on it, you're so cool.
Well, just, you know, through the Bluetooth feature, you just connect them and literally turn it on. Right. So if your phone talks to your watch, and that's what happened to me the other day. And again, you know, when I'm golfing, I just love it because, you know, at 8,000 steps, it vibrates and I get my little trophy on the screen. And
do you?
Yeah. And I love that. And then after it goes off at 8,000 steps, then I get to guess, okay, that happened like on the 14th. So I'm going to guess, how many steps have I taken since then? What is my grand total going to be? It's fantastic.
Yeah. That is, that does sound fascinating.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
And then Danny, the other, Danny Kingsbury, who Dan referred to, we were sitting there at the table, and I showed him my blood pressure while we were sitting there, and it was very impressive. He thought that was a cool feature to have on a watch. And my heart rate, it was funny, my heart rate just before dinner was about 87, and I thought that seems a bit high, but there was some nice jerk chicken coming, and I couldn't wait.
You were getting a little excited, were you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was it. Because our friend Darren really jerked chicken, and then he did it over the charcoal, like over the briquettes.
Wow.
With a little bit of, you know, he smoked it with something. It was just outstanding. It was, you know, I thought, I turned around, I thought he could, it, I thought maybe there was a Jamaican man that had come in and was making it for us.
Oh, yeah? Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and what would that have sounded like?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're not going to draw me into that.
No, but, accents are no longer allowed.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jamaicans don't have accents.
Hey, how's that chicken eat?
Yeah.
No, but I'll tell you, know, jerk chicken's very, you know, when you do it yourself, sometimes, you know, you don't sort of bake it in or cook it in or barbecue it into the meat properly, and it's like an outer,
it's more on the surface, exactly, yeah,
just,
yeah,
not right. But he seems to have it down, eh, Dan? Like, yeah. Wow, yeah, right through the meat and the skin, and just the right amount, not too hot.
You know, it's just lovely. In Jamaica, it's a slow roasted process. It's, oh, not, dude, like you get it done fast,
dude. I the last time I was in Jamaica was 2014 in the spring, and I had jerk chicken that was being cooked on a median of a street, literally in the middle of traffic. You had to cross traffic to get into this, and he had a barrel, and it might be, yeah, the best chicken, oh, I've, yeah, ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. I may have been medicated at the time, so that skewed it. Dan,
yes,
don't you think Fred would benefit if the health gauge watch had like an excitement dump alert, like
Oh, I have one of those built in.
Do you really? Just want everyone to know, go to healthgauge.com. The promo code is HumbleFred, is HumbleFred15 for 15% off at checkout. Some people are still trying to figure that out.
Okay. Right on. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And now is their thanks for being a fan of our show. From our friends at Big Ass Fans, use the code HumbleFred for free swag in their online store. Now, just stay with me. It's store.bigassfans.ca, and you'll just get some free big ass stuff. Big ass hats, big ass stress donkeys.
What?
It's one of those rubber donkeys that you just squeeze.
It's shaped like a donkey?
Big ass t-shirts and big ass sweaters, yes. It's really the big ass scope of fun things to grab. And if you're listening live, it's super quick and easy to get some big ass stuff. Just type in I'm a hashtag big ass fan in the comment section below right now during our Facebook Live, and our friend Nick, the big ass man, will reach out and hook you up with free, you don't have to buy anything, free big ass swag pack. It takes like under 30 seconds. So do us a favor, because this campaign is coming to an end, and let these guys know that you're out there by getting some free stuff. Go to store.bigassfans.ca. In fact, Philly, can you just put this into our Facebook feed right now?
It already is.
Fantastic. Storebigassfans.ca. Click Gear Store. Make your pick. Enter the code at the cart. The price will be zero when you enter the code. Storebigassfans.ca. Just enter the code HumbleFred. Okay? And you get free stuff. Dan, you could do it right now.
You could
go get yourself some free things. And as always, it's great having new people and new sponsors on a program.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Duran, for all your Dan Duran needs, go to Dan Duran.
Comfort and peace of mind. Bigassfans.ca, the fans you want in your life.
Any final thoughts, Dan, before we let you take on?
Just go out this, a refreshing start to September and enjoy yourself. And what's Fred saying now? Get to it now? since things get real, or what is, what's this?
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. Things get serious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, things get serious now.
Yeah.
It's like, now it's serious.
Yeah,
serious.
Dan, I think you should start getting serious. I really do. you've been taking things way too lightly. It's time.
You're right. It's time to get serious.
Yeah. All right.
We'll get serious. I got to go then.
All right, my friends.
See you guys.
This will be cool. Michael Landsberg returns to our program tomorrow. And on Thursday, Leona Boyd. Phil? Do your thing. Pretty good, eh, Phil?
Absolutely.
Do your thing, Phil.
Yeah. And this episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Geek's Guy, the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and our newest sponsor, Doer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfred.com. Where's that?